Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon, I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you, Leo Brown. Almost hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Horrible news out of Brussels. We'll be talking about that this afternoon. Father Thomas Loya will be joining us, and he's got a bit of a reflection and some thoughts to share when it comes to things of this nature. And as we know, the terror group ISIS now claiming responsibility for that, and some are asking, is this retaliation for the capture of the terror leader that happened in Brussels? Others are saying this was far too coordinated for it to have been something in retaliation that had to have been planned for a long time anyway. And just a lot of questions, I think, now more so than answers, unfortunately. So we'll talk about that. Also, Father Thomas, we'll talk a bit about Pope Francis and his intentions on Holy Thursday to wash the feet of refugees. I don't think there's any surprise here that Pope Francis is reaching out in the ways that he always does. So that's a beautiful thing we'll talk about as well. So all of that and more as we talk to Father Thomas Loya this afternoon. Stick around. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back in a moment.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. 50 minutes every afternoon, culture, current events, our Catholic faith, and hopefully Father Thomas Loya at some point. I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for our technical challenges, we would have no programming at all, because that kind of seems to be the way things go. And I know I've shared this before, but one of my early radio shows as a 7 or 8 year old, whenever this was, right, when I had a quote unquote radio show from my bedroom, which really it's not that different these days, but the way that one of my shows that I recall recording that I listened to some years later was all about the technical challenges and the equipment problems that I was having. Little did I know that this would plague me for many years to come. So we'll hopefully get Father Loya connected here sooner than later. We'll talk to him. One of the things that I know he wants to discuss, and we'll kind of preface this because it is the big news today, this Brussels attack. CNN reporting, Greg Patello, who is writing that, yes, there is the responsibility being claimed by ISIS, which I think we all saw this. There was no question that this was the unfortunate reality. And we'll be talking a little bit later on in the week. I've had some criticism about this because and what specifically is the criticism? It's kind of been in a number of ways, and I appreciate those who listen and take time to write letters, and this is certainly one of these. But we'll be talking to the Muslim organization IMPACT. We've had them on before, and it is unfair to categorize Muslims in a blanket categorization that says, yes, this is how they all are. look at this. Just goes to show you. Just more proof that this is a problem. And that's the world in which we live, unfortunately, that we seem to think that now we can make these kind of claims and reinforce those kinds of claims when anything of this nature happens. And that's what some presidential candidates certainly want to make us believe. And many others who think that, well, there's anecdotal information because this individual who is now ex-Muslim, whatever, is basically affirming that. Well, there's not evidence. There's just simply is not evidence to take those claims, to make this a blanket situation. I can't tell you how many times, and we've talked about this just yesterday on the show, and I plan to revisit a little bit more because actually this thread has even grown more on my Facebook page regarding the priest abuse scandal. This is 14 years ago now. What was it? 13, 14 years ago when this information broke. We still are dealing with this in a way that there are those who have blanketed the entire Catholic Church as being irresponsible or untrustworthy. There are certainly those who have blanketed every priest, literally every priest, as being someone who is a potential child predator. Well, if they're wearing a collar, that means that they can't be trusted. And this is the unfortunate truth. Because of a very small minority of individuals who were unfortunately as egregious as the day is long. And there's no doubt about that. Nobody's denying that. Nobody's denying that now with this situation, with these ISIS operatives that have infiltrated Western society. We know this. We talked about this before, and this is something that we're seeing. But we can't blanket Muslims as a whole. I think we got Father Thomas with us now. Father, are you there?
Yes, Leo.
All right, good. Well, we've resorted to the phone. We're connected. We're in good shape. Yeah. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Sorry about that. I don't know what's going on with the technology here.
We've had repeated challenges, so we'll try to figure it out well ahead of time next time. So I know you wanted to address this situation with the Brussels attack. You want to talk a little bit about it from a Catholic perspective. So I've certainly prefaced it with a lot of exposition on what we know, but what is your perspective?
Yeah, a few things, Leo. It's really certainly is occasion like these things are for a lot of perspectives, especially as Christians. You know, because as Christians, we should have a very different perspective, a very, very comprehensive perspective, which involves a lot of history, reality, and of course, all sums up into spirituality. One of the things, Leo, for me is that these things, as only God can do, and it isn't a providential. Well, let me back up. You know, Leo, when I get up on Monday morning, this begins Holy Week, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what popped in my head was, okay, what's going to happen this week?
Oh, wow.
Because every year, if you notice, every year, and think back a few years ago, when the media held back all of the information about the clergy sex scandals, they unleashed it purposely during Holy Week.
Hmm.
That was just one example. And
right,
every, and for years after that, I've noticed every year something happens during Holy Week.
Or a Dan Brown movie or book is released.
That
usually
exactly,
happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can't help but see in that a backhanded affirmation or compliment of the reality of this week and then how we enter into that reality of Christ. Because it truly is. You know, it was a battle between Christ and the evil one. Especially, you know, when he's on the cross, he descends into hell before he rises. You have to remember that. That's a critical point there in between. He does a fierce ultimate battle with evil, with the power of evil. And in fact, during this week, as we move with Christ, as only we can do through the church and her prayer and her liturgy, we really do see this encounter is real, that the Christ event is ongoing. It's not a history lesson. It's not like, okay, Christ died on the cross, you know, in the past. He's dying on the cross, and he's rising.
Hmm.
And we with him. And events like this are, I think, just amazing affirmations of the reality of that. Even though it's a hard, terrible reality, it's an affirmation nonetheless of the reality of the holiness of this week, the reality that this is ongoing, this Christ event is real. The second thing is, it's a backhanded affirmation of the beauty, the strength of our Christian faith. That we look at this kind of thing in horror. We look at this whole attack on Western civilization. And we have to realize that Western civilization has been, in a sense, and John Paul II talked about this, has in a sense been, if you want to call it Christian Europe, has been entrusted, so to speak, with the gospel message. Think about how Christian Europe was and how it Christianized so much of the world. Now it has to be re-Christianized in a sense. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that Western civilization is a reflection of the kingdom of God on earth. It incarnates the kingdom of God on earth. Catholic culture is replete through everything. So an attack on Western civilization is once again another sign of the battle of what Satan's been doing since time immemorial to undo, dismantle God's order of creation. And now it is manifested in the way that God's order of creation is incarnated in Western civilization. So this, what we're really seeing is once again, another. This is really a battle of good and evil. And again, we're not talking about Muslim people as being evil. You know, we're not talking about any peoples right. being evil. We're talking about forces of evil
right.
and how they manifest themselves in this world. You know, how they incarnate themselves, as Christ incarnates himself in this world, how evil incarnates itself in this world. And Islam is one of those things which is, in a sense, anti-Christ. In other words, it does not accept Jesus Christ for who Jesus Christ is. And when you do not accept that, you do open the door. You become a fertile ground then for evil things to penetrate and to manifest themselves. And Islam, one way you can define Islam, it's a Christian heresy. It does not accept Christ, and they accept a God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This doesn't mean that there aren't good Muslims. Obviously, there's very good and holy Muslim people.
Sure.
But the ideology itself opens itself then to evil taking hold of it and using it as a tool to go against Western civilization. And Western civilization is really a manifestation or incarnation of the kingdom of God on earth. So we have a cosmic battle going on here, and it's been going on for centuries. And the only way that victories or Christianity was saved in many battles, and there were three significant battles in Europe that kept Europe from becoming overrun by Islam. Those battles were all won miraculously through prayer. And that's one of my messages here. There is no human solution here. We can see it. It's like it's all over the place. We can't stop these people. They mentioned something already today in the news. It said Belgium was on absolute highest alert. Mm. And yet look how easily, how craftily they pulled this off.
Yeah.
And so what is the human solution? You know, what leader is going to step up and have the solution? No one is. No one has the solution. We really, really have to understand this historically, spiritually, and above all, not just prayer, of course, but truly, truly turn to prayer and penance. Of, you know, we need a Jonah kind of, a Ninevite kind of fasting prayer, because there is no force, no human force that can really bring about the solution. It has to be a change of heart. It has to be divine intervention. And again, I cite history. And those three battles, one of them was, they were Lepanto, Zenta, and Battle of Vienna. The church, in fact, the Pope called the church, the people, to pray, particularly to the Mother of God. And she's the link here. I think she's the key here. Through her intercession, miraculously, these battles were won by the Christians, and Christian Europe was preserved from being overrun.
Father Thomas Loyer with us this afternoon. More to come in just a moment. Stick around. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Follow me on Facebook. We talk about the things that we talk about on the show, typically posted over there. Father Thomas Loya with us this afternoon, taberlife.org, his website. Father, welcome back.
Thank you.
Before the break, we were talking about this situation that we see, and I know we want to transition. We'll talk a little bit about Holy Week and the plans that Pope Francis has. But one of the issues here, even in the highest degree of preparedness, which, as you said, Belgium was expecting. They had just captured this one suspect, and knowing that they were on high alert for something of this nature to happen, and that kind of shows you that there's no immunity. But you were talking about these prayer campaigns that have taken place in the past, and I was reminded as you were saying that we were up against a break, but just think about Our Lady of Fatima, right?
Yeah.
And her prescription, exactly. Her prescription of prayer. And I think that this is something that certainly as people of faith we need to hold in our hearts.
Yes, and you know, she's the link because, well, as you know, and many people know, Fatima is a Muslim name.
Mm-hmm.
And the Muslims do really, really respect her as the mother of Christ, who they see as a prophet, you know, as a mm-hmm. good person, a,
sure.
a great man, but not as the Son of God. They don't believe in the Trinity, the Son, and the Incarnation. But the link there is the mother, and you know, let's face it, she is the mother. We are all her children, regardless of what belief. She is our mother. She is the mother of the human race, mm-hmm. the mystical mother of the human race, and she is the intercessor. And historically, the historical fact, in all those battles, the Christians were outgunned. They shouldn't. There's no way they should have won the battles. And yet they did, and they were all miraculously won. And it was through prayer to her. So certainly prayer, especially to the Mother of God, through intercession, we have to be doing that, prayer and penance. And this Holy Week, you know what's happening, Leo, is that Christ is being put on that cross again. Hmm. You know, in other words, we're entering once again into that mystery, that one mystery of Christ on the cross, which is ongoing. It's like Eucharist. You know, the things of Christ, the things in the Church, they're one-time events that have they're past, present, and future all at once. In other words, they're ongoing.
Timeless.
You sort of enter into them. Yes, timeless. Yes,
yeah.
Kairos time.
Kairos.
Not chronos.
Mm-hmm.
And we enter into that. So Christ being put on the cross by us again, by humanity, you know, unfaithful, rebellious, sinful humanity, is happening again. I mean, we're entering into that rather. We're entering into that again. And we see it in a very, very graphic way. So this is we really, really need to look at this. You know, the Catholic perspective, and my whole point is that it's way beyond looking at it through politics and experts and this and that. It's really about stepping back and taking that fully, fully Catholic perspective on this whole thing. And also realizing, too, that, you know, we're entering into Christ being put on the cross again. And it also, we are being put on that crossroads. We are sharing in that. We're going to share in Christ's martyrdom. You know, we're already being martyred, even if we haven't been physically killed. You know, we sense, that's why we're talking about it now. We are at one with those people who had suffered this in Belgium. Hmm. We are at one with any time anyone suffers with these kinds of events. It affects us. So we are being persecuted. We are being martyred, even in a, if only in a psycho-spiritual way, you know, a connection on that level. And yes, we already had some of our own physical martyrdom here, and most likely it's really coming our way in a big way, I'm afraid, over the years, unless, you know, we have some kind of intervention, mm-hmm. some divine intervention, and we do a lot of things differently here in our own culture. One of the things we have to do, and this is one of the things we pray for in spirituality, a very big virtue is called vigilance. We actually pray for vigilance. Vigilance means an awareness, a total awareness. First of all, awareness to God's presence, but also an awareness to the fallen side of humanity, of sinfulness within ourselves and with others. And we can even translate that on the secular level. A lot of the experts are saying, you know, they heard Trump on there today and saying, yeah, we got to keep our eyes on things and, you know, not just clam up because of political correctness. We have to say if we see something suspicious. Yeah, there's a vigilance on that level as well that we have to do. And it doesn't mean, you know, profiling or being prejudiced. It just means just being aware. I mean, these guys, some of these people, they're almost watching them build bombs or something like that, and they don't say anything. So we have to be vigilant on that level, but also more so on the spiritual level. Be vigilant about the forces of evil within us and outside of us, around us, and yet vigilant vigilant about Christ and about how he will overcome. Ultimately, he's the last word on evil, but that we may have to suffer, may have to suffer greatly. You know, we sometimes, part of our problem, Leo, in Western culture now is that we sometimes think, maybe not consciously, but maybe subconsciously, we've gotten this understanding that we can have Christianity without a cross, you know? Mm. But it's not true. There's always going to be some kind of martyrdom in Christianity. If it's not white martyrdom, you know, the dying to self and all that, it's going to be blood martyrdom. There will be martyrdom. To be a Christian, martyrdom is very much a part of that. And we've had it so good in Western culture, especially America, our freedom. What incredible, precious jewel that we have this freedom to practice our faith. It's so beautiful, so wonderful, that we sometimes forget that it does come with the price of the cross. And we're seeing that in a good part of the world, and we're going to see it here. We have to be prepared for that. So this is a time, I believe, to really dig down into, and this is what we do during Holy Week, really dig down deep into the whole reality of the Christian experience, what that really is. It means suffering, real suffering, but a redemptive suffering. It means really walking with Christ through his suffering and death, but that ultimately he is the last word on this. Western civilization, I don't want to see it happen, Leo, but I would be remiss as a priest, as a pastor, not preparing my people. If I would be remiss by not saying, Western civilization is going to fall. As we know it, it's not going to be the same. It can't sustain itself the way it is, as it's going. And this is what I mean about the vigilance. We have to accept that somehow, some way, it's going to fall. It's going to be different. I think the future is going to be Islam. I think the young girls today can expect they'll probably be wearing burqas 30, 40 years from now.
Wow.
I don't want to see that happen, but I can't help thinking that it's probably going to happen. So our question is, how do we prepare ourselves for that, what I think is an inevitability? I'm not being pessimistic. I'm being what I believe is realistic. I'm being vigilant. How do we go deep into our Christianity then and live in a world where the predominant challenge is going to be real persecution, you know, real tyranny? And we've seen this in other cultures, other countries throughout Christianity. It's in, you know, exists in the Middle East and so on in those cultures. Remember, those are great Christian cultures that are now almost completely wiped out under tremendous persecution. We have to be vigilant for that. The signs are pointing that way. And unless something turns this around, and that something's going to have to be, I think, some kind of divine intervention. It would come only through prayer. Yes, we have to do our part. We have to be, you know, good politicians, you know, have good government and be aware and be vigilant. But it's way beyond that. It's way beyond that. It's going to take a lot more than that. And we're going to really be living, really palpably, deeply living the Christ event, which is tremendous suffering, but yet redemption and triumph. And this is what we're moving through. It's like a journey. It's a process. And to me, again, I was right. My premonition was right. Something is going to pull us deep into the mystery of Christ this very week. And sure enough, it already happened, and there may be more coming.
Father Thomas Loya with us this afternoon. Father, something you were mentioning there reminds me of some of the writings of Pope Francis, even before he was our Holy Father, as the Archbishop of Argentina, Buenos Aires. And the compilation is called Open Mind, Faithful Heart, I'm pretty sure is what it's put into these works of his writings as Archbishop. But one of the things that he talks about in this is this, what you're referring to, this vigilance. He talks about the militant, church militant, right? We hear this terminology. And he says, the most militant action that we as Christians can perform is remaining on the cross.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
When I read
militant,
when I read that, I thought that turns the whole militant concept completely on its head. And it's so backwards in thought, but my goodness, what a powerful expression. And I have to tell you this, it was an adoration today, as I do on Tuesdays, my holy hour, and the message kept reverberating in my heart. The only place to find solutions is on the cross. The only place to find solutions is on the cross.
Absolutely.
And it just was, again, this reverberation of that message. And, you know, what a powerful week that we have to embrace that. And it's not a, it's, it's, it's not what we want, right? It's not what we want, but it's the prescription. It's what Christ says. Hey, you want to follow me?
Absolutely, that was the thing. And, you know, Leo, like the Pope said, remember when Christ is hanging on the cross, and again, we'll read this during this week in this church, they walked by and they said, come down from the cross, then we'll believe. It's the one thing he wouldn't do.
Yeah.
You know, if he was a good politician, he would have come down to that cross and got those votes, you know? He would have gotten those people on board, too, you know?
Done it
that
several times
group, you know?
In a row, right? Hey, watch me do it again.
Yeah, exactly right. But he wouldn't do it. And that's exactly what Pope Francis is saying. That is, that was the ultimate example. We stay on the cross. And that's where we are. But remember, and it's hard. Yes, I mean, golly, the suffering of Christ, you know, the horror of the cross. But what happened, it was turned into triumph. Only God can do. So I think we have to step back and look at this truly in a way that we're immersing ourselves deep and ever deeper into the reality of Christ, the reality of Christ. And isn't it providential? I don't want to say I'm happy. I'm not happy this happened. But I have to marvel at the providential timing. You know, this event is forcing us to enter into this mystery of Christ that we do during this Holy Week.
Amen. Father, we're out of time. God bless you. Thank you so much. TaperLife.org. We'll check you out over there, and we'll talk to you next week. Happy Easter. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith, and Holy Week upon us. And as Father Thomas Loyo was saying, it's always something, right? It's always something kind of brings us back. We got the news today, of course, of the Belgium event, which God bless those who have been affected by this, those who lost their lives in the attacks today. And as always, those who perpetrated, which is a tough prayer to pray. I know. We always talk about that. Anytime something of this nature happens, it's a tough prayer to pray. But we have to. It's part of our faith as well, as difficult as that is. But in this this time, as Father mentioned a moment ago, there's interesting things that occur, such as the challenge of the priest abuse scandal, which happened a dozen or more years ago. I'm chronologically challenged. And then I've talked about this earlier, but I think it's interesting because there's been so much response on this post on my Facebook page, Leo C. Brown. You can follow me over there. Check out the things that we talk about. And my question simply was, why do we have to rehash this? Why do we have to always bring this back? And I hadn't even thought about, quite honestly, Holy Week. I hadn't thought about that. But this shows up on my feed on Sunday night, right? So this is when we're entering into this week. What an odd coincidence that is, that this is when CBS decides to consciously promote a post. This is what it was. It was a promoted post on Facebook regarding the priest abuse scandal as we enter Holy Week. You think about that. You think about the powers, the principalities, the spiritual warfare, the things that are happening. And as we get this perspective, it is no wonder. It is no wonder. And as I reflect, I think that we have to be able to, and this is kind of my tactic. I think if you listen to the show, you know this is where I am on things. I try as best I can to intellectually discuss these issues to the point of hopefully making sense, right? It's not just some sort of emotional response. It's not just a gut reaction. It's not just, oh, you know, let's get into a shouting match. That's not the way I operate. That's maybe what my instincts are at times, right? But I try to appeal to the logic. I try to appeal to something that's going to be much greater than simply just an argument of us against them. So when I saw this, this is what I did. I took it to the forum of thought that is Facebook, which I value tremendously, being able to exchange ideas of this nature. I know this drives people crazy, like, oh, if I see another political post, blah, 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 I'm going to leave Facebook. Well, let's have these conversations. We can have them. We can have them. And it's amazing to me, in and amid these type of conversations, the vulnerability that is expressed even by those who share. And I'm impressed by that vulnerability, and I value that vulnerability, and I want to encourage even more of that, because this is where we can really begin to share. And there are people who have come out in these posts, in this conversation, and discussed the experiences they've had personally, right? And some of the challenges that they've experienced. And this is important for healing, to realize that we all have issues. We're all dealing with something. Sometimes it's conveniently, I think, scapegoated. I do believe that. But maybe sometimes it's real, right? It's a very real challenge that there are those who have with whatever looks like it was. Whatever it looks like it was. And I say it was because I don't think it is. There are those who say, well, it still is, blah, blah, blah. Not certainly in the American Catholic Church. And certainly I would hope that we've seen a very strict and stringent policy and action and responsibility, especially from this Holy Father, who has spoken at length and been very firm in resolve against anything of this nature. I would hope that there are those who can see this, and they see that now is a different time. It's a completely different time than we've dealt with in any of this in the past. And we have to see the responsibility, the true and undoubted effort, tremendous effort that has been put forth by this organization known as the Catholic Church. We got to be able to see that. But then again, our strength comes from the cross. Our strength comes from the persecution. Our strength comes from the crucifixion. And as we move through this time of Holy Week, that is something that needs to be in our heart. That's something that we have to understand, that, you know what? If this continues to happen, that there are those who rehash, there are those who simply want to assume the worst, then so be it, right? So be it. We almost have to just accept it. Not in a simply just laying down and accepting and being completely oblivious to it, or you know, ostriching ourselves in a hand in head in the sand sort of acceptance, but a accepting this in the sense of taking it and realizing that there's pain involved anytime we're criticized, that we're looked at as being something that we're not, and use that, really use that, whatever it looks like, whatever it feels like, accepting that understanding of this is part of the cross. And that's what this beautiful time of the year really is, as we culminate at this week, and understanding that Good Friday is good because we can connect all of that to the cross, right? I remember growing up as a Baptist, I always thought that was crazy, right? And I understood that it was Good Friday. We didn't necessarily celebrate it. We recognized it as being a day, and we understood that Catholics did something special on this day. We weren't really sure what it was, but it was always, there was this bizarre irony that I always kind of thought, that's the craziest thing in the world to call the day that Christ is crucified Good Friday. Why ever would we do that, right? Even as a kid, I kind of mocked it. I thought it was a ridiculous thing to consider. But to realize what goodness there is, because we have the cross, and what beautiful and amazing power there is in the redemptive suffering, even if it is, that acceptance of, well, you know what, we're going to get this kind of ridiculous bashing. There are those who are going to come out in this week especially and rehash the old stuff, throw things back in our face, not let us forget the mistakes that we've made, whether they're as a church, whether they're as individuals, or then again, whether it's something like what we've seen today in Europe with the attacks in Belgium. It's however they manifest themselves, it really comes down to the same thing. The opportunity is there for us to begin to embrace this cross, connect that cross, and allow that pain to be redemptive, or simply ignore it, like I said before, head in the sand, pretend like it's not happening, or worse yet, kind of just sort of in a bizarre show of defiance, just kind of fight against it. None of that is going to be redemptive, or at least those two examples are not. The only one that's going to be is when we connect it. So I think that this week is different. This week is special. This week is an opportunity in so many ways as we begin to move closer and closer toward that time of fully embracing this cross for ourselves. And I mentioned it a moment ago when talking with Father Thomas Loya. If you want some good, and it's a quick read, I mean, you're going to get through it, I think. If you picked it up today, you would be able to finish it before Easter, I would think. It's not a lot to wade through, but it's so beautiful to reflect this open mind, faithful heart. I think I'm saying that right. I get it backwards, but I think that's right. Open mind, faithful heart. This wonderful collection of Pope Francis's writings as the Archbishop of Buenos Aires. And so much, I mean, it's full of just amazing reflection. But when you get to that part and you understand what it looks like to truly be militant, right? And isn't that what Lent is? I mean, regardless of how many times we've messed it up so far, to maybe finally be militant for this few days, maybe through the Triduum, maybe Good Friday, Holy Saturday into Easter, maybe we could kind of be more reflective, more militant, more focused. And to realize that it's about the willingness to stay on that cross. It's just amazing, right? I mean, that's why I love my faith. I love my Catholic faith because it is painful. As crazy as it sounds. We can use it, right? You can use it. We're all going to have pain. Are you going to use it or are you not, right? We're all going to suffer. We're all going to deal with horrible challenges and things that don't make sense and things that don't make up. What do you do with that stuff that doesn't add up? What do you do with it? Do you allow it to be redemptive? That's the beautiful promise we have in the cross. That there's not just the cross. It doesn't just end there. The resurrection is always awaiting. Thank you so much for listening. That's all we have time for this afternoon. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. God bless you.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.